Hello and welcome to the Brothers Random Show. My name is Travis.
I'm Michael.
And we are two ordinary brothers discussing extraordinary ideas and some random shit. So the topics on this show range from theology, masculinity, stories, movies, philosophy, books, pop culture, and many other subjects. We often talk about the people we admire and the wisdom that they share, people such as Dr. Jordan B. Peterson, who we believe is the sage of our time. Michael, why are we here?
Today we're talking about a video that we came across, one of Chris Williamson's videos with a feminist, it's titled, Can't You Talk to a Feminist About Masculinity? Obviously the answer is yes, because it's a great video, their conversation about masculinity. And it kind of led us down the line to go read her article, which is it kind of made a splash on the internet and kind of got shared. And I want to say it was, millions of views, like 10,000 comments, right? She said the comments were open for 3 days and they had 10,000 of them.
Jeez.
So for only 3 days,
let me just
10,000 comments.
Let me just say that she writes for the Washington Post. It was in the Washington Post. It's an opinion essay. And it's called Men Are Lost. Here's a Map Out of the Wilderness. And her name is Christine Emba.
Mm-hmm.
So
what is happening with men nowadays?
Well, we throw around the phrase, the crisis of masculinity. But I actually do think that there is a crisis. I mean, explaining it out is also a long process too, because again, so many factors. But basically, we can start by saying that society has changed a lot over the past 30 to 40 years. And many of those challenges have been great for some groups, for women especially, but they have not necessarily been so great for men, especially working class men. But men of all kinds seem to be feeling a sort of malaise. I mean,
we kind of followed that a little bit, and it was a great conversation. As long as a really good article, it's so funny because she starts out, she doesn't say it explicitly, but she starts out talking about noticing that
things have gotten weird.
Men weren't like relating to women very well. And I don't know for sure, but it makes me wonder if she was like dating and noticing that all of her dates were kind of lackluster.
But you're reading a lot into it. She never says
that's a lot. Yeah. Yeah. So, but this has happened, with other girls I know that have been on the online dating, kind of entered the online dating world and then like kind of stopped and then went back. Cause it's like, I do want to meet somebody. This gal was telling me about some of her dates that she went on online dating, and we're talking about crazy stuff that these young men were never like taught. So basically show up to the date and be on your phone the whole time. Like,
yeah, that's not crazy stuff. That's not, yeah.
Not eye contact, not.
If you've spent your entire life online, then you don't know how to talk to other people.
A date and you're on your phone the whole time. Like, well,
that's bizarre. That is. And that it's an entire, we're coming up with an entire generation of people who are like this, right? I guess we should say one of the reasons, and this isn't to discount any of the issues that women have in our society today. We do not.
Which we do want to get, we want to do a show where we want to have somebody on to talk to us about women's issues.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So we don't want to just be one-sided on this, but, my suspicion is that a lot more feminists will start talking about men's issues as they are out there in the dating world, realizing that men are shit.
Yeah.
Like much. That they are just not relating, not doing well in the their dates, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that's where they're going to be like, what the heck is going on? And that's exactly, she says that she talks to some other of her female friends. And what,
that's Christine Emma.
Christine Emma says, one of her friends said, this is, men are in their flop era. I thought that was actually pretty well
spot
put.
On.
Like,
yeah, it
if
is.
The, if you're out on the, this, this online dating and seeing the crap that kind of comes through your DMs and stuff like that. A buddy of mine once told me, he's like the dating bar has become so low, and he just said, it's really not hard, guys. Just don't send them unsolicited dick pics. Just don't. You'll be,
don't do it.
You'll probably like be a good human being, talk to them. Don't send them unsolicited dick pics. And you'll probably do just fine.
Well, and I think this is part of the reason with feminism right now is because they're so mad about it, right? If this is all they're getting, then they're like, why is this all I'm getting? Like, they're
it's
just
almost
so...
like a negative feedback loop, right?
Yes.
It's almost like you, men start to have problems, women are like
respond
dating
to those problems.
This, obviously we're talking about heterosexual, and she admits that she's a heterosexual woman, so like she's
concerned about this, like that's
where
she stands.
If you're a feminist and you're a lesbian, not
more power
issue.
To you, go do your thing.
Yeah, and it's like, this is like, you're never gonna have to have a problem with this, right? Unless of course you have sons. I mean, there's other things.
Well, that's one of the reasons you and I are interested in this, is because you have a son, I have daughters, and I want them to find good men in this world. And your son, you also have daughters, and you want them to find good men, but your son, you're really concerned about where this could land for him.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, he's young, but like all this stuff doesn't seem like it's good. It sounds like it's probably going to get worse before it gets better.
It's better. Yeah.
And so it does leave me with some trepidation with, some anxiety for my son.
But he might be ahead of the curve anyway, because he's got a father who's involved in his life. And one of the reasons this generation of men who are coming up, they don't have a father in their lives. Men are, this has been a statistic. I don't know the numbers, but this has been a statistic forever. There have been no men in
father figures
in young men's lives for two generations now, probably maybe three.
Well, Christine points out that neighborhoods, even if a young man doesn't have a father in the home, his chances of actually doing fairly well are higher if in the neighborhood there were lots of men that were present.
Yeah, even if,
right?
Yeah.
If it's in the neighborhood. So, and that's probably got something to do with, like, he might maybe goes over to a friend's house. I don't know the psychology behind it, but like he goes to a friend's house.
His friend's dad acts towards him and towards
like
him. And so he knows, oh, I'm supposed to look people in the eye when I talk to them. I'm not supposed to be sitting on my phone the whole time when I talk to them. You know, that's
right. So there's probably a lot that goes into that. But I seriously think this is where the feminists will start talking about men's issues more, is just as they see the dating pool of
kind of shrivel
good men to date
just
starts to shrivel up. That's my opinion. I think that's going to be a,
but I think that's where where we are now. We are in that.
Yeah.
We're in that now. And so that's why she wrote this article, right? So
I think,
Hence this article. So,
right.
So anyway,
or Another thing is that what they'll start to notice is that men are leaning right and continue to lean right. She kind of talks to this specifically, mm-hmm. that men are starting to lean right because Republicans at least offer some sense of masculinity. And this is Scott Galloway's big
thing. Or purpose, more or less. They're like saying, here's your purpose.
Sure. Yeah. And this is, she talks about her interview with Scott Galloway, who's a New York professor in New York. And he has a podcast, et cetera, et cetera. But, and I actually enjoy Scott Galloway's stuff. He's been on Chris Williamson's show, I think a couple times, but I actually like listening to him. And one of the things he says is that he thinks that the left needs to change their narrative towards men so that the left can reclaim masculinity.
Yeah. Yeah. But the left is obsessed with the toxic masculinity, and they're basically saying you're a straight man, so you, with their aggressive finger pointing at you, like you are the problem. It's like, well,
she says that after Me Too, it basically became, there couldn't be a sentence used where masculinity was used, where toxic wasn't used as well. Like, and she obviously, and then Chris points out to her, he's just like, if all a man, if everything that's being talked about for, if he wants to be masculine and all that's talked about is that masculinity is toxic, then he's going to shut out. He's going to shy away from that.
Cause there's no winning battle in that, right? You're not going to win because you've already, you know, it's like if you call somebody miss when you don't know if they're married or not.
And right.
It's considered a aggression. It's mm-hmm. not aggression. I'm calling you miss because I'm assuming you're not married, and misses if I'm assuming you are, and maybe that's assumptions, who knows?
Well,
welcome
to the brave new world. Oh, I called you she. Oh shit.
Oh, sorry. Like, oh, sorry. I didn't know that we were changing the meanings of things.
Yeah. And everything's,
I didn't know. Okay, miss, whatever. I didn't know miss was an aggressive term. It's like, if we're going to change, and then rather than address it, rather than talk about it, we're like, okay, if you're going to be that aggressive towards me, I'm out. I'm not going to deal. If you've already made up your mind, whether I'm toxic and because I'm a man, because I'm straight, because I don't have one of the, what do you call it?
White.
White. And white. Yeah. And white. You know, if I don't have one of the evils that people have decided that they're evil, and you've already made these assumptions, that's a bigotry. You've already made assumptions based on all of those characteristics. Anyway, so the article is really good, and we suggest everybody goes out and read it. And she addresses some of the Michael, did you want to read the numbers off? Because there were numbers that she puts out, like she
points out some things like 3 out of 4 deaths of despair are men. And death, she defines death. I didn't know this was an actual definition, but I guess deaths of despair are alcohol, drugs, yourself.
Let's talk about that for a second, because why do you think that is? Because men are a lot less likely to seek out mental health, right? But, and they're also a lot less likely to have friends. So here's the thing. When a man makes friend.
This was from another guy that Chris had on where he was talking about that. And he said that there was a study done where they studied men who deleted themselves and found that something like 80% of them did seek out.
Oh, really?
Help. Now,
so that's a fallacy.
This is the, well, it, I don't, we don't know, but this could be, and Chris and him talk, and I'll try to remember the guy that he had on that was talking about it, but one of the things that they kind of talk about a little bit is that psychology as a field is predominantly woman.
And so like if they're seeking
something
out,
like 80, it's something crazy. It's like 80, 85% or something like that are so women.
Oh, so they're seeking out help from maybe. So here's the thing is this is what I think is the problem because I see it in myself is that the friendships that I've made are all with my brothers. I don't have really close friendships with men outside my family.
Billy No Mates, right?
Yeah, Billy No Mates. Yeah, exactly. So the thing is that I could see a lot of men. See, women tend to make friendships really easily, and men make their friendships in their youth, and then keep those friends throughout their lives, right?
Well, I mean, he talks about Billy. So, audience, Billy No Mates is a book that written by Max something. I forget the author, but he, in his interview with Chris, he and Chris talk a bit about it, and they talk about how men are actually pretty good at making close relationships, and then when changing jobs or et cetera, et cetera, a lot of times those relationships kind of end and it goes on to new relationships, and men are pretty good at that. And their bro science was that men needed to be pretty good at that, because if we were in a troop and we went out and hunted a mammoth and one of us died hunting a mammoth, then I mean, we'd have to get over it pretty quick.
And so they're
back to hunting, you know, it's like,
they're going right, back to our,
sorry, well, this guy died. It's what are we going to do? We got to still, well, you know, eat
in that scene. In that same interview, though, didn't they talk about the friendships that they make in their youth stay their friendships well into their 40s
now,
and 50s?
If they keep a friendship, then I think that's I don't remember them specifically talking about that. That might be another.
That's something I've heard, is that the friendships that women are really easy to make really close friendships really quickly. And it's mostly because of communication, because women are really good at communicating.
Yeah.
And I've noticed this about myself, is that my wife has a friend group that they do a bunch of stuff with. And if it's not with my brothers, I'm usually not doing stuff with other men. I'm usually just doing stuff with kids. But the whole point, though, is that for men, I think the friendships that they make in their youth, those become the friend. Cause if you talk to dudes, usually they'll be like, oh yeah, this guy's been my friend, you know?
Yeah.
All my life, you know? And
right. It could be also, and I've noticed this, that, for men, you might not talk to each other for
for
a year.
Yeah.
But and then you can get together. Yeah, it's like, hey man, I'm going to be in town, whatever the case. Get together, and it's like,
well, it's like
a
that
year
when
we even go by.
You yeah, it's
can
like that.
Pick up right off.
Yeah, it's left. Like that with our brothers. Like when we all hang out, it's like we pick up right where and we could go months, if not years, without talking to each other. And then, when we see each other, it's like right back up where we left off,
like best friends. Yeah,
But and so those are, I think those are deaths of despair, because people, men are less likely to seek out mental health. And even if they do seek out mental health, like you said, most of the mental health practitioners in the world are women. And so if they don't,
yeah, and
if they don't,
Chris had another guy on, I'm forgetting his name too, man. But, and he was a psychologist, but he kind of geared his psychology towards men. His work. He geared towards men. Mm-hmm. And one of the things he was kind of saying is that, basically men don't want, basically the psychology that you would, or the therapy that you would give a woman, it's completely different how you would give it to a man. It's just two different worlds. And he kind of pointed out women, want to know that they're like loved and like cherished, but men want to know that they are useful and respected. Right. Yeah. It's just kind of like two different things.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was going to get into some of these numbers. Men now receive about 74 bachelors for every 100 bachelor's degrees to women. So about 75% are men. Now, Richard Reeves, she quotes Richard Reeves a little bit, and he kind of points out that the gap now between men being behind women is actually greater than women being behind men in the 70s.
Happened to males in education then?
What's happened is that males have fallen rapidly behind females at every stage of the education system. In every advanced economy in the world, there are more young women with a college degree than young men in both the UK and the US. On pretty much every measure you can look at, girls are ahead of boys. In most places now, the girls and women have caught up in math and science as well, and in some cases overtaken, and still have this huge lead in literacy and English. It's really interesting. Go back and you read the stuff from the 70s when we were really pushing for gender equality in education to get more women into college and especially into more male-dominated subjects. And everybody was pushing towards parity. Nobody predicted once girls and women caught up with boys and men that they would keep going and that we would now have a bigger gender gap in higher education than we did 50 years ago, just the other way around. And can only be the result of structural factors. If it's happening everywhere and every level, it's not the kid. It's a structural problem with the education system that's just not male-friendly enough.
So, just
in the workforce, like we're talking like, I guess that in a
in
lot
degrees.
Of
degrees, I want to say it was in degrees.
It was
they
in
were
degrees.
Talking about.
Okay.
Right. So, now on more, college campuses, basically.
And according to this article, men are more likely to drop out as well. Like there was, during COVID, there was
definitely, something. And definitely, especially during COVID, like
yeah. During COVID,
the numbers
there was something
were,
huge.
Were worse before, but they during COVID it was even more abysmal. So
well, and why let's discuss that a little bit. Why do you think that is? Do you think that I think it's because of the encouragement that people give to women? Because I've seen it in myself when the girls hurt themselves, we get down and we give them loves and all that kind of stuff. If excuse me, and I don't know why this is, but excuse me, but when a boy hurts himself, I don't have boys, but I would assume that when a boy hurts himself, like the same way a girl would, we would basically say, hey, get up and, you know, brush it off. Do you think that that's ingrained into us, or do you
I don't know. It could very well be that that men show up to college and they It might be that they don't want to show up and be indoctrinated, right? Like it could be, there could be a whole slew of things. I wonder if there are I wonder if there are any studies out there to try to figure out why
they're dropping out,
more. One, I mean, it could be a whole slew of things. It could be the indoctrination. Even if you go to a college and you're going into the STEM fields, science, technology, engineering, mathematics, they're probably going to have prerequisites that you're going to have to take.
Humanities,
things that you're going to have to take. And they'd say that they want it to be done because they want you to have a rounded out, you know,
Those are the education. And Jordan Peterson has talked about how the humanities have failed. So if you go to a humanities class and you're a straight white man, or you're just a straight man who doesn't matter your ethnicity, you go in because it's not ethnic centric. The article doesn't say whether it's, you know, what race are they are. So they show up, they get into their class, they're in a humanities course, and the professor immediately starts talking about toxic masculinity. That's going to put you right off. And you're going to go, nope, I'm out. You know, because I've never victimized anybody, you know, and you walk into this class, and I can imagine that would be what it would be like. And again, it goes back to the encouragement. So if a woman goes to college, she's being encouraged the entire way through it. And a man goes to college, he's being told how bad he is and he needs to give up his spot for a woman or whatever it is. I don't know what the solution.
And then we're just,
it's completely. We have no idea. We have no idea,
but
I can imagine the way people are. I can imagine that's what it is.
Yeah.
So,
well, and Scott Galloway talks a little bit about this in one of his interviews. He talked about how, how was it, Scott? It might've been Destiny. I can't remember for sure, but one of the things was that a lot of people are trying to kind of discount getting a degree. And it's kind of weird, but I'm kind of on that boat a little bit.
Because it doesn't mean anything anymore. Like the people at the Daily Wire say
student debt. Yeah. Go into debt for something that you may not,
get a job for.
Get a job for, like, blah, blah, blah. There's most of the people I know that have degrees aren't even working
in that
with their
field.
Degree, like in their field.
Yeah. I knew.
Right. And so
I had a buddy who's a musician, like probably like a trumpet player, probably the best in the entire state. And he was working in the oil field.
Right. Right.
And it's like,
yeah. So, I mean, now it's not to say that somebody goes and gets a music degree isn't going to be, it's just, it feels like there's a large percentage of people who go get degrees, get the student debt. And then aren't even working in their field. Now, I think you get a degree, even if you aren't working in your field. I loved my college experience. I think I've learned a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I feel like I did learn a lot, even in my class that was like straight up trying to push socialism. I actually loved that class. Was trying to diss on, you know, with the professor that was trying to diss on religion and push communism, socialism, basically, because he said that they were sort of the same thing, and he was trying to push it anyways. And anyway, I learned a lot, and I actually liked it.
One of the reasons, if people are going to school and they don't already have values in place, you already had your values.
Oh yeah, I was older. Yeah, it's true.
When you went
for years, had kids. Yeah.
When you went, you weren't going to be challenged by your core values. Now he's because and that So a kid who's
19-year-old kid, yeah,
is going there. Like that, he's gonna get his core values could be a whole challenged.
Whole different deal for sure.
That might be one of the reasons they're dropping out so much. So
maybe maybe anyway, that I think it was Destiny or Scott Galloway that was saying that that if you the numbers are pretty clear that if you did get a degree that you will over your lifespan make more money. And I mean it's
not in it the kind field of makes sense because
even if you aren't working in your field, you're going to an employer. And I saw this really cool Sylvester Stallone clip where he says, like, you are going to an employer and you're saying that you basically you for 4 years you went somewhere and showed up on time. You did
the work
assignments relatively on time, right? Like there's all these kind of things that you can, it's like seeing a guy that is huge and buff. There's a whole slew of things you can assume about this person that
He's got dedication. He's able to do something proper. He's like, there's a lot of assumptions based on that I could see that. If you're an employer, but see, the Daily Wire says that they've stopped taking people from Ivy League schools because they're indoctrination centers now.
Okay. And so this goes back to, this is a feminist talking about problems with masculinity in our day and age. Yeah. Okay. And one of the things she points out is that basically men are really starting to lean right. And I mean, we can go on and on and on about all the, you know, reasons we think for that. But if it's starting to seem like if you're leaning more right, especially when places like the Daily Wire and some of these other conservative outlets are basically saying, we don't care if you have a degree, and that,
so they're not encouraging it.
The indoctrination that the left has been in control of the
universities
for so long, and that indoctrination is happening, and I could only imagine that.
Well, Dr. Peterson wants to get rid of the humanities altogether. He's like, they've failed at what they were supposed to do. It was,
well, humanities. He's just starting his own.
Yeah.
His own academy. Well, the Peterson Academy is supposed to launch this fall, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. But so, I mean,
cool to check out.
But the humanities are where most of these bad ideas come from. You know, you're toxic because you are a man. Not because you are a toxic man, but you're toxic just because you're a man. It's like, you can't win in that scenario.
They probably, and this is one of the things that she points out in her article, is that like, if you keep pushing that masculinity is toxic, and she's interviewing Scott Galloway, and he's basically pointing out that, or at least heterosexual women, they may say that they want a feminist man, that he's a feminine and he's in touch with his feelings and he expresses his feelings and all these things. And like, there's kind of an extent, right? And she talks about it with Chris as well. But like, there's a point where it could be too much, and women won't want to mate with that guy, right? Like
there's a fine line, right? And and this is what you and I talk about all the time, the virtuous monster, right? You have to have virtue, you have to be a monster, you have to have a balance between the two, you know. Like, who kills all the spiders in your house?
Yeah, me. I mean, yeah,
I killed one with my bare hands the other day, and the girls about lost, like
about they lost went, their oh. minds.
They watched me do it, and I went and washed my hands afterwards. But I was like, out in the boonies, you're not going to have a paper towel to go find the spider that's in your tent, you know? Like, guys, this isn't. It was just a funny moment. But what I'm trying to get at is like, you can't be so hard that you can't relate to the women in your life, but you can't be so soft that they're put off by you completely.
That you're not. Yeah. Yeah. And she even acknowledges, as a heterosexual female.
Yeah. Yeah.
She even acknowledges that. Yeah. I do actually want a strong man that's capable, you know, that doesn't just give in to all of his feelings,
that
right?
Is like merit, that has so, merit, that works.
And I'm reading
hard,
a little bit into that. I'd have to read the exact quote.
Well, and that's one of the things that the Beauty and the Beast, our Beauty and the Beast episodes with Heather is so good, is because Heather's actually giving this perspective of, yeah, I'm a woman. I'm a heterosexual woman who wants a strong man. I also want somebody who's tender and kind. So why can't we walk and chew gum at the same time? Why can't we have our cake and eat it too?
Yeah.
Like what's the, anyway, maybe getting back to the article, one of the solutions that she presents is that there needs to be men who are in the community that take on like leadership roles that other young men may be inclined to follow. Right.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that she suggested that would be, because if you have enough single mothers out there and they don't have with boys, the boys need like the guidance, you know, like the looking somebody in the eye when you're talking to them. That is not, that can be taught by their mothers, but most of the time they're going to learn, you know, a healthy handshake from their fathers, or, you know, mm-hmm. to look people in the eye from. And it's not to say that single motherhood isn't the most challenging thing in the world. It's got to be. It just has to be.
Well, and but, the thing is like, we can speculate all day long, like why do boys tend to do better if they have a masculine role model close, you know,
close
within
by,
the home
or
close by
the neighborhood? Yeah.
It like we don't fucking know.
Yeah,
we don't know why men do better, and but, like I think we could speculate all day long. I remember
you can't lie about the statistics, though. The statistics are
statistic. Yeah,
are if
statistics if this, are strong.
Yes. So everybody that's almost everybody that's in prison had a bad relationship with a masculine figure in their early life.
Didn't have a father around,
or
have you? Yeah,
because they tend to when they're not taught properly in their early life, they tend to have these really chaotic and horrible adult lives, and in and out of prison, that sort of thing. And I don't know why this has become this is one of her solutions. So why has it become? It's almost become like a racial thing. Like you can't talk about fatherless homes without being considered, you know, a racist. And I don't know why that is. I have no idea why that is.
Right. Well, and also and Chris always talks about the caveats. He's always talking about like, we're not here to diss on single mothers, single parent mothers. Like we're not here to say that women shouldn't have their opportunities.
Yeah.
We're not, none of that. We're looking at these problems and we just don't see these problems being good for society. And so we're trying to figure out these problems.
And speaking of on that with society, so the feminist agenda at one point was to get equal pay, to get vote, to be in the workplace and that kind of thing. And that's a good thing. That was really important. But it's kind of gone off the rails.
Well, I mean, Christine talks about this a little bit, and that is that feminism was meant to basically give give women rights within their own femininity, right? Mm-hmm. But now it's kind of turned into this, well, we women need to be more like men, and women that are feminine and want to, like, you know, have children and stay at home are somehow
looked down upon.
Like, as a society, we really need to put that on a pedestal more than we do. We need to bring back a more appreciation and appreciation for the stay-at-home mom, right?
Yeah. Like you said, we're not trying to diss on the single mom. That's important. Because the mom stays in that kid's life, you know. The problem is I don't think we hold men up to a big enough standard. If you've got a guy, you know, a baby mama guy who's got like seven kids from seven different women, it's like, okay, maybe society should be shaming him a lot more than we are. Maybe, and you know, society tries to go after these guys for child support.
Shame that guy more, and appreciate a stay-at-home mom
more,
right? Like Jordan talks about how his wife always kind of received a little bit of social angst
towards her for being a stay-at-home.
Towards her being that she had stepped out of the workforce and was raising her kids.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. I was listening to this other interview with Chris. This guy was talking about how basically men and women, their wages would be like right by each other. Up, 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 up. And then you'd see women's wages and then men's wages go up. And it's because of motherhood and fatherhood, right? It just.
Oh, you're saying through age.
Through age. Going up.
Okay.
And then basically drop and then go up. And it was because you.
Is like at 30, we can't get somewhere around 30. Yeah, somewhere around 30 just drops off, right?
We can't really get around the fact that. It is the woman that takes more of the brunt of growing and childbearing and
nurturing
the first year, at least the first year of like nursing and caring for a child. Right. We're sorry, feminists. We can't get around that fact. Like that's just biology. I know everybody's trying to get rid of biology and blah, 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 right? That's just biology. So we tough. And
well, and to perpetuate the species.
The answer is not having zero children.
Well, that's
not the answer.
Yeah. Because then our we can't get around the fact that only one set of the species actually has the children. And I don't know where Christine Emba's like sits on that. I don't remember that her addressing that in the article.
Talking about we kind of got off on a rail, but anyway, we got into that because I was talking about how she was talking about how femininity. It's okay to be feminine. We don't have to become men, right? Like women don't have to.
Well, and this
do
obsession
everything that men do, right? Well,
and this obsession with like the spaces, like men only spaces, women only spaces, and we have to combine them.
Oh,
to have equality.
It's she like, does talk about
she
that.
She does talk about that, and it's like, well, why do we have to combine them? What do we gain from the girls being in the girls being in Boy Scouts, or what do we gain from boys being in the Girl Scouts? I mean, I don't.
Yeah.
The whole point was, this is the Boy Scouts, this is the Girl Scouts. Like, what's wrong with that?
Right.
What is wrong with that? It's right. just that it's almost like the pendulum.
That pissed me off. That whole thing pissed me off. I was just like, that, because and my wife did not like the Girl Scouts, and she hated the fact that the Girl Scouts were always like pushing, oh, well, it's about cooking and it's about making cookies and blah blah blah, all these things, right?
But it doesn't have to be. They could have gone out and camped and made fires.
Then reform the Girl Scouts.
Yeah.
Don't take out the Boy Scouts. Reform the Girl Scouts. Like, change it up. Make it more, if you want it, if, because the and this, I talked to a few people, and they always said that the Boy Scouts, they always had more fun. They would go out camping and do cool shit and all that stuff. And the Girl Scouts never got to do that. Right. Like, they were always, you know,
well,
doing these other things.
It goes back to parenting. So my daughter asked me for a knife, and I said, well, why do you need a knife? And she's like, I just want a knife. And I was like, okay, well, there's rules to the knife. And then what you need to do is, and then I said, you can get a stick and whittle it. And that, I remember specifically the Boy Scouts, that was one of the things we did. It was just getting a knife and whittling with a stick.
Yep.
It's like maybe it's parents that need to step in when the girls, like, I don't like the baking and I don't like the cooking. It's like, okay, well, come with me and I'll take you camping.
It's right.
Like you said, why are we obliterating the Girl Scouts and the Boy Scouts just for this? Integrate, like, are we just going to call it the Scouts now?
I don't even know. I think it's just the Scouts now.
I think it's just the Scouts.
I don't even know exactly what happened. Well,
but she talks about this, that it's okay. Doesn't she say something about the it's okay to have
men's spaces,
men's spaces and women's spaces?
She's talking about how, and she used a book. Maybe I should try to find it, but. Where this book talks about how the young men throughout history in all these different cultures all had rites and rituals that were done to, like, bring them into being a man.
Yeah.
Right. And they all had a difference between what it means to be male and what it means to be a man. And you could be a male and still not be a man.
But
you had to be, like, taught and, like, brought up to be a man.
This goes back to what I think Jordan Peterson has said, this, that society makes boys into men and nature makes women or girls into women.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and that could be another discussion. 'Cause I actually think, we have a femininity crisis as well. Like, I don't think women have role models of, like, a healthy femininity. Right. I think it's kind of on both sides.
On both sides, but what I'd like to get to is the true, so if the true feminist was really concerned, I think, about women's issues, she would acknowledge that women's issues are also men's issues. Because if men are not taught and men are not corralled or held to a certain standard, then they perpetuate basically bad things on women.
Yeah.
So the true feminists should be thinking, okay, if society is going in this direction and men are lost,
yeah,
we should be concerned, because as that happens, bad things get worse when men are not held to a standard.
Right. Then you get the Andrew Tates of the world. And
then you get the Andrew Tates of the world. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you, like, get these,
he's a kind,
real,
he's,
shitty, shitty people. And these men not having anybody to look up to and things like that. And then they, they go out and they find these, and then they find real misogyny.
Yeah. then Scarface, like this is one of the things. So I used to work in a detention center for young men. And that was an experience. I'll tell you, that was an experience. These are young men who are just pieces of shit, essentially.
Yeah.
And they've been lost because most of the time they didn't have good role models. So guess who were their role models?
And you mentioned Scarface. So I'm going to say
Scarface. Yeah.
Jeez.
Scarface. Have you seen that movie? It's about a drug dealer who rises in the ranks and becomes omnipotent and powerful. And and that's exactly what Andrew Tate is. The popularity of Andrew Tate is based on lost men going, that's what I want. I want to be like that. Yeah, and they should be more going the route. And she talks about this. She basically puts Jordan Peterson and Andrew Tate in the same category. And I'm like, no, that's not true. That is not true.
Like, come on.
That was my only big complaint about her article. But that's the thing is like, Tate is a bunch of the monster and not enough of the virtue. Right.
Yeah.
We need both. We need
a
line between the both.
Yeah.
And that scares me. Because you get enough young men who, like even Andrew Tate's own videos condemn him in a lot of ways. Like, and you know, he's allegedly been, allegedly been involved in sex trafficking.
Chris and her mentioned it a little bit, but I think ultimately it's women are going to want to be concerned about the role models that men have, because those are the men that they're going to date and marry and partner with
and have children with.
Right. So, and so, this is, you know, barring that they don't all just become lesbian and the 20%
and then we stop having children. We just stop.
Some people would like to see that happen. So, and maybe that's where they go.
I think what but we really
sex robots are coming, and 60% of men are going to
go that
check
way.
Right out of the dating pool. And that could,
if they haven't already,
into some real, real tough times.
So, yeah. And I don't want to scare people into thinking that there's no solution to this. In fact, she gives a solution. She says we need male role models. Young men.
Yeah, they kind of talk about that one of her top comments on her article was a guy just saying, like, I don't see this. I'm good. Like, I have my business. You know, I have my male friends, we're all good. Like, he may not be in the circles
that see this happening.
Well, she points out that those boomers that are good men that are just kind of live their lives and stuff, those are kind of the guys we need to be going out and mentoring some of these young men that don't have a father around.
Well, part of the program that I was involved in with the at-risk youth was a little bit of mentorship. So you had to sit down every couple of weeks with a kid, or every couple of days with a kid, and kind of talk to them and say like what is good and what is bad. And you had to kind of teach them that you know, drug addled ways or you know, their criminal ways were not going to get them anywhere, you know.
Right.
And what was sad is the turnaround rate. A kid would leave and then within months would be back in that program. It was like,
right,
it made people who worked in that really cynical, because they were like, mm-hmm. nah, nothing we're doing is working. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, it's rough.
Well, and what they really need is somebody who's, they're not forced to be around. See, they were being forced to listen to us talk. Whereas yeah. if they were out in the world, they needed this older guy who's not like, I don't see any of this. They needed him to go, I'm going to hang out with this kid, or I'm going to invite him to do this, that it is a healthy thing that
yeah.
do, you know, like, you know, work on a car, or, you know, go bike riding somewhere, something that would be a more appealing than the Scarface, than the criminal underworld.
What was the Obama initiative? My brother's keeper. Yeah, that's what it was. I did not, this was probably a little bit before my time when I wasn't aware of this, but Obama started a boys initiative mm-hmm. for African American fathers and sons and boys.
I wonder how successful that was.
I hadn't really heard about it, but they talked about how much backlash that got.
Why?
Like, because it doesn't include girls, because it wasn't helping
to girls.
Girls. It wasn't.
Long run, it was. That's what people aren't getting about this.
That's what the thing, right? Like, that's the thing.
In the long run, if they get mentorship and they get out into the world, then they're eligible men for women to be with and to have children with, and they've learned good. So
yeah.
So the problem here is if feminists want to obliterate all male spaces because they're not inclusive, they may be inadvertently causing more harm to the feminine agenda, because those men who didn't get mentorship are going to grow up and they're going to be violent towards women. And that's where it's this vicious circle eating itself.
Yeah, we don't know that they would be violent, but that, yes, you're right. This circle could get worse and worse and worse if we, it's going to be crazy, because if it gets worse and worse, then women are going to cry patriarchy and
more
male chauvinism and
misogyny
more and more and more and more, right? That feedback loop, that gap will just get bigger and bigger and bigger, and then lesbianism seems even better, and then
the perpetuation of the species kind of ends.
Welcome the end of love.
That's sad.
The end of romance, right? Like, as that, if that happens, I mean, if this continues on, right? I think
Emba's article is kind of a, oh wait, hold on, we need to wake up to this. And yeah. and if it's gotten that much traction, and Chris Williamson had her on his podcast, if that yeah. happens, maybe that is the step in the right direction.
Yeah. And I think Chris is on point with a lot of this stuff, right?
Why do you think he's so obsessed with obsessed, but why do you think he's so interested? Like, he doesn't have children, so why would he?
Well, once again, he was kind of brought to the masculinity problem through studying the dating problem, right? Yeah. He was
interested in the dating problem,
and the yeah. birth gap,
yeah,
and the why aren't people having kids, and just it all kind of becomes this overarching like
blob
study. It's, and I want to say his book is going to be on the dating crisis. I think he wants to write his book on the dating crisis. Now the dating crisis can be laid at many different ideologies' feet and stuff. Yeah. But one huge part of the dating crisis is this problem of masculinity, like this crisis of masculinity, really. Like, yeah. There, if I, because obviously, right, if you're going out on dates and the guy's on his phone the whole time and he's sending you unsolicited dick pics and like freaking, you know, saying racial slurs, whatever, those things that a man or a father never like told him, listen,
don't do that.
You don't say that. Like, yeah, you don't do that, right?
Yeah.
You know, you took a girl on a date. So maybe the answer is
some kind of mentorship, you know? And like I said, you know, it's hard to do because you've got your own life. And I'd like to do that. I'd like to mentor, but I'm sitting here trying to just live my own life. And, you know, so I wonder how much that could actually, how realistic is that? Or maybe just a lead by example.
Chris said that he talks a little bit about Australia did an initiative where they just had old men do stuff. I can't remember if young men were involved in that as well.
Yeah, it was like a program.
It was a program, but where they would just go fix cars.
Fix like do house chores and fix cars and stuff like that.
Yeah, and they just do those things together.
But it's not as appealing. Part of this is
sit around and talk about their feelings.
part of this is pop culture. Pop culture, like Scarface. Pop culture has made Scarface look like that is the thing that we should aspire to be. Where is the awesome dad? There isn't one. You don't have a movie or a TV show with a really awesome dad. Those are so rare.
You got Taken. You've got.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah.
I was going to go for all these kind of stoic characters, Gladiator, you know, William Wallace didn't have kids, but movie, but
yeah, I mean, but I think that was better done in the 90s. Like pop culture now isn't producing, idealistic men.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're very, very hyper focused on the girl boss hero.
Yeah.
So, which is all well and good, but I mean, it's we're in for some interesting times.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting.
Maybe we can bring it home on that. So,
let's bring it home. One thing I wanted to say, this is what Scott Galloway, and she quotes him. He says, if you're really strong and smart, you will garner enough power, influence, kindness to begin protecting others. That's it. Full stop. Real men protect other people. And that, right? Like that says it all. I think he kind of nailed it. She says that Richard Reeves said it similarly, but basically he tells his sons, because he has several sons, but he says, I want to teach my sons the bravery to ask a girl out, the stoicism to accept her rejection, and the responsibility to make sure she gets home safe either way.
Amen to that.
And I was like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So the, I personally think that we need a return to a gentleman, a chivalrous. I think there should be a return to chivalry, but I know that word carries a lot of weight. It's almost like toxic masculinity to us, for some people. But I truly do think that a return to chivalry, a return to the gentleman.
But when you say return, people automatically go, "Oh, you want to return?"
Okay,
back
so a new
to, like, yeah, when women,
yeah,
couldn't
so
vote, and
you're
only-
you're right, and that's Chris and Christine talk about to this a little bit. It's like we don't want to return back to this, you know, and she mentioned the Bronze Age,
yeah, yeah,
book. There's like, you know,
oh, yeah.
It's like eat meat and go screw women. And it, like this,
yeah,
Bronze,
like,
Age, like,
no, we don't want to return back to that. That's not what we're talking about.
We do want men that are, the thing is like, she sits there and she starts talking about like, values and virtuous men and some of these things. And I'm just like,
that's the chivalry code.
Like a Christian man, like that loves Jesus. Oh, whoa, wait a minute. Like, I mean, she's sitting there talking about, we've become so secular that here we are. We're like, what's the problem? And then it's like, okay, well, we had this Jesus character that was like, oh, don't stone this woman. Just go and sin no more, right? Like, you just, there was all these things, and
yeah, don't, you know, love thy neighbor as,
yeah,
thyself,
right? Like,
whatever happened to that?
Oh shit, oh, is religion the answer? Do we need to, we need some Jesus. I think we need some Jesus. But
in front of my babies, you got porno and homo shows up in here? What kind of freak ass store is this? And you two motherfuckers need Jesus. Cover your ears, baby.
Was it so horrible? Do we want to go back to something? No, I think we want... Okay, yes, we want masculinity to be kind of...
Let's do this. Let's go forward with... She says this with a new definition of masculinity. But I would say with the old definition of masculinity, but forward with it. Meaning... We're going to move forward with an old definition of masculinity, but not to the expense of the woman. We should be moving forward.
Sure. Yeah.
And women should be moving forward with the
but
old,
not at the expense of the man.
Yes. With the old definition of a woman, of a virtuous woman, but not to the expense of the man. So if we can both move forward in this, that is the solution. What are our socials, yeah, brother?
Brothers V Random on Twitter. That's our Twitter. Follow us on Instagram, The Brothers Random. Email us the Brothers Random V at Gmail.
Check us out on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. We're all, you know, obviously we're on YouTube, and look for The Sword in the Skull. Thank you for that discussion, brother. And I hope that this enlightens some people and they kind of come to a new idea about what this crisis could be, or that this crisis exists. So keep reading, keep listening, keep watching, learn more. We'll see you, brother.
See you, brother.